Joining us now in our Touch Points Rehab interview chair is Assistant Professor of Journalism at Quinnipiac University, Ben Bogardus. Professor, good morning. Welcome to Brad and Dan.
Good morning. Good morning.
Good morning.
Well, what do you think? Do you think that O.J. will be paroled?
Yes, so I think it's pretty much a done deal.
So it's a done deal, and that's it. What do you think, though? What is this going to do for O.J. Simpson? People still have this terrible feeling about him, can't believe what he did, but we know he did it.
Absolutely. And I think what, you know, sort of phenomenon you have here is that he's become a pop culture phenomenon again, 20-plus years after the original murder and trial, because he's become part of the popular culture. We've had an award-winning miniseries, an ESPN documentary just in the last year, which has really exposed a new generation to him. So he's become almost a reality star for them. He's a TV star. He's a person that is sort of a larger-than-life character that they want to see what's going to happen next to him.
You know, it is fascinating to me, Professor, because, like you said, he's become this pop culture figure. I mean, there are people who weren't even born yet when that Bronco chase took place. They were fascinated by him.
Absolutely. I mean, most of my students were either infants or not even born yet then. So their only exposure to him is the pop culture phenomenon, you know, the sort of semi-fictionalized TV show and the documentary, which was, you know, longer more in-depth thing. So they're thinking this is going to be the next chapter. They're almost waiting for season two of the TV show, which is him being released from prison. You know, season one was the original murder case, the not guilty verdict, and then the eventual arrest and imprisonment for armed robbery. And he's been sitting there for 10 years, and now he's ready to come out and start season two of his reality show.
And again, there's no question about it. He doesn't have to worry about money.
No, absolutely not. And that's the, but in some ways he almost does, because remember he was found liable for the death. So the Goldman family gets a huge chunk of whatever earnings he has to make. So he has to figure out a way to, you know, do it and keep it away from them at the same time.
Well, but where does the Goldman family stand in all of this? Have they been heard since O.J. has reemerged in the news?
I haven't seen any comments from them directly. I think the latest we heard from them a few years ago when O.J. wrote the book that he, you know, titled, you know, If I Did It, and they successfully sued in order to get the copyright to that book under the theory that, you know, they own, he owes them money for the murder. So they published the book on their own and, you know, renamed it, Confessions of a Murderer and things like that. So, you know, they are definitely still very anti-O.J., and I'm sure that they would be opposed to his being released. But, again, he's in prison for something which is not related to the actual murder. He's in prison for an armed robbery where he tried to steal back some memorabilia that he claimed was stolen from him in the first place.
But you know, the amazing thing to me, and I know to Dan, is this stuff that he's got, I mean, even in jail, is going to bring thousands and thousands of dollars. I mean, people are just want it. I can't understand it.
Yeah, it's one of those morbid curiosity things. You know, people love to collect the rare, the things with a great story behind it, and even a morbid story is a great story, but it's sad because, you know, we've lost, you know, touch for the fact that, you know, 20-plus years ago, two people were brutally murdered, and, you know, now their deaths have turned into part of a sideshow.
And you know, it's amazing because most of these people who today, we talk about pop culture, interested in O.J., don't even realize that he was an outstanding college football player and then later went on to star in the pros.
Absolutely. And, you know, the name O.J. Simpson is no longer associated with football greatness. It's, you know, associated with, you know, the murders, the sensational trial, all the characters that came out of it, you know, Johnny Cochran and, you know, the Kardashians in some way came out of the original O.J. trial. So he's really sort of moved beyond his origins and has turned into, you know, a fascination piece for a new generation.
So just a simple question. Where did he go to live? What does he do?
I mean, his last residence was in Florida. And again, he did that because of the court cases. Florida has homestead laws where people can't take your home in the case of a judgment against you. So he purposely moved there in order to, you know, have a house that couldn't be taken away from him. So I would assume he would go back to Florida, and I don't know if he still owns the house down there after, you know, 9 years in prison, but I think he's going to, you know, go back to Florida and, you know, go back on the golf course and try to, you resume a normal life, followed, of course, by all the paparazzi.
And that's it. The paparazzi will be after him. You know what also is so fascinating about this O.J. story, and there's so many facets to it, but the fact that you can guarantee that the media is going to be hounding him once he is freed for this interview, that interview, and I guess he can pick and choose where he wants to appear, Ben.
Absolutely. And it all comes down to who he thinks is going to give him the most sympathetic coverage. And, you know, journalists, legitimate journalists won't pay for a story, but they will pay for licensing of, like, photographs or things like that. So that's sort of how they get around paying for interviews. So, you know, whoever, you know, gives him the, you know, the most, you know, favorable coverage and maybe even a little bit of money, you know, he's probably going to jump on it.
And, you know, we're talking with Professor Ben Bogardus, Associate Professor of Journalism, Assistant Professor of Journalism at Quinnipiac. Again, you know that he's going to have a manager. He's going to have somebody as a spokesperson, no question about it.
Oh, no question. And there's too much money involved. I mean, nothing. He hasn't been sitting in prison for 8 years not thinking about what's going to happen when he's released and how he's going to make money and how he's going to get back in the spotlight. It's something that he is. He needs to be in the spotlight. He can't just go away. So I'm sure there is a plan in the works ready to pull the trigger as soon as he walks out of jail today, if it is today.
Professor, what can your students learn from this? What will you teach them about this?
I think the lesson for budding journalists is about covering a story ethically, in the sense that you don't want to do any harm. As I mentioned earlier, you know, we've lost sight of the fact that two people were brutally murdered, you know, slashed with a knife and left for dead in California more than 20, 25 years ago now. And, you know, when you cover the story as a celebrity, as, you know, awestruck, as, you know, put it on the, you know, front page of the National Enquirer, you lose sight of that. And you really end up hurting the people who, you know, knew the victims, because, you know, you're ignoring their pain and suffering and instead making a celebrity out of someone who is, you know, most likely a murderer.
Wow. Professor, thank you so much for shedding the light on it. And again, some tremendous work at Quinnipiac, and we enjoy having you on our programs. We really, really do.
Oh, well, thank you.